they brought me out.
So we'll open up to Daf Yud, Yud Omen Aleph, here in Bamitzia, and first we'll finish up to the Mishnah. We're almost at the Mishnah. We were discussing Tofes Malchov B'Makom Shechav L'Acherim Lo Kana, and we suggested and tried to analyze a bit a machlok between the Rif and the Rush, and the machlokes was about Tofes L'Malchov B'Makom She'eino Chav L'Acherim. So let's say the Malve is desperately in need of collecting, let's take the case of a Taltalin, in lieu of the payment that the Love has defaulted, and because of that pseudo, because if the, let's say the loan is about to die and then there's no shibud to collect from the metaltalin, then the malva will be at a great loss. So the Rif says that the Rabbanim made a takana and they instituted that a tofes of malchov is kana. The Rush says that this is not a rabbinic institution, enactment, but rather it comes under the halach of zochel liyadam shelo b'fanav. So even though the Tofes was a man from the street, he had no special identity, he was not an agent on behalf of anybody, but nevertheless, Zachli Olam Shalom B'Fanav, and here the Rush is bothered because L'chora it's Chav L'Lova, the Lova stands to lose, but according to the Rush, since we believe, and we have significant evidence to believe that the Lova owes this money, that it's not considered to be causing him a loss if the loan is actually repaid. That's what we discussed yesterday. Then we spoke about Tosus Divya Maskel Tofes. Let's read the Tosus inside. Tosus says, Mashapirish Rashi Mishum Delo Aso Shliach. In other words, Rashi understood that Shlichus would be operative in a case of Chav L'Acherim. The problem in this sugya is that the Tofes was not appointed by the Malve as a Shliach. But had the Malve appointed the Tofes as a Shliach, the Tofes now stands representing the Malve. And just like the Malve could grab, and no one's going to say to him, well, it's Chav L'Acherim, so too the Shliach could grab. Tosa says, "Ain't Nira. I don't accept Rashi. The Viperka Kosev, Iksubis, Mashma, Gabi Uvda, the Yemar Bar Choshu, the Tofes of Alchov, Bimokum Shechav Lachem, Lo Kodi Afilu, Aso Shlia." The Tosa has a sugya to prove that Shlichus is inoperative here. It's as if Tosus limits Shlichus. Shlichus is meaningful if no one stands to lose as a result of the fact that you appoint so-and-so as a Shliach. But if somebody else stands to lose, then Shlichus doesn't operate. Now the Rush says that he has a proof to Tosus from our Mishnah, that even in the case of a Shliach, we still apply the principle of Lo Kana. It's Chav L'Acherim, because the case of Rochev and the Magbia is a case of Shlichus, where the Rochev commissioned his friend, the Magbia, to lift up the object of Hefger on his behalf. And yet, the Gemara here that we're learning today identifies this as a case of Tofes of Malchov, explaining why is it that this object is not kanui to the Rochev, And that's because of Tofes Malchol Bokom Shechab Lacher, despite the fact that the Tofes was appointed as a Shliach. So the question that we want to address today is why? Why is this Shlichus invalid? What's the difference between the Malva himself, who could collect from the Lova, confiscate his property, as opposed to the Malva's Shliach that he appointed him? And we have a principle called Shlucho Shel Adam Kimosa. So I'm just going to read to you a line from the Rosh, and we'll try to understand what he has in mind. The Rosh says, "B'tam adavar she'ein yad ha-shliach ki yad ha-mishaleach kishadavar chav lacher." When do you say that the shliach's yad is an extension of the yad ha-mishaleach? That's only, but it's not chav lacher. Being, if it's a schus on behalf of the mishaleach, then shlichus operates. But as long as that schus is not on the expense of anyone else, which would mean chav lacherim, because if it's chav lacherim, then the shliach cannot be an extended yad. And the Adover Pella, I mean, the Rosh is really not, he's not revealing any secrets here. He's holding his cards close to his chest. I mean, okay, I admit that it's chav lacherim, but I also admit that when you appoint someone as a shliach, he becomes the extension of your yad. Why should that be different just because it's chav lacher? So I have here a quote from the Darchei David, and he writes that ein yad shliach bechav lacher, because in the case of Zochel Yodim Shalom Befanov, let's say there was no appointment of the Shliach. So we said before that if it's not Chav Lacherim, then the Tofes could act on behalf of the Malve, and the Lova has no right to say La Bal Dvar Diyat. And this, despite the fact that the Tofes was not appointed as a Shliach, says the Rosh, because Zachar Liyadim Shalom Befana. Meaning, certainly, the Malva would be very happy if he found out that somebody was voluntarily offering to serve as his agent to prevent him from a loss. So if that be the case, then we have to ask exactly what this halacha of Zechiah is. Says the Darkei David, the Rosh understood, and this is a machlokas that we're going to get in our Gemara, that Zechiah is mitav shlichus, that the final bottom line is that Zechiah is being vague about this, but a self-appointed shliach, but it works midin shlichus. Mm-hmm. And yet, the Rushes say that Zechiah Mitam Shlichus is only meaningful in a case where it's not Chav Lacherim. It's that it's Zochel Yodim Shalom Befanov because no one else stands to lose. If someone else would stand to lose, then Zochel Yodim Shalom Befanov would not be operative. Right? Which means that if you have Malve, we'll call him Ruvain, and we have Malva Shimon, so somebody comes forward and he wants to be Zocha behalf of Ruvain, so the Gemara establishes that he cannot do so because it's Chav Lacherim, it's going to be at the expense of Shimon. Shimon wants to get an equal shot at collecting these Nechasim. Now if we assume that Zechiah Mitam Shlichus, then you're going to have to assume that even in the case of a shliach, he cannot serve as a shliach when it's chav lacherim, because otherwise, what's the difference between zechiah and shlichus? Meaning, if zechiah was one parsha and shlichus was a different parsha, then I could say that tofis l'makom shechav lacherim lo kana because of zechiah, but if he was appointed as a shliach, that's already that's already a horse of a different color that he represents the Mishaleach. He's like the embodiment or the extension of the Malva. And that perhaps could be the sheet of Rashi, that we don't apply the principle of Tofis Makom Chav L'Cherim in a case of a Minui Shliach. But the Rosh himself says that Tzchiyah is Mitam Shlichus. So if Tzchiyah doesn't work in a case where he's not a Shliach, then ipso facto, even if he was a Shliach, it wouldn't work. Because Tzchiyah itself is Shlichus. So far, so good. Then this is really what you call modus tollens. You know, this is a logical structure. If Zechiah's mitam shlichus, then whenever Zechiah doesn't work and it's inoperative, then shlichus is inoperative, because Zechiah equals shlichus. So that Zechiah is really just another name for shlichus. It's a shlichus without an official, explicit meaning, but it works midin shlichus.
Without
a meaning. So if I tell you that Zechiah is inoperative, and that's the case of Tofis Lebal Chobak Shechav L'Cherim when he was not appointed as Shliach, then the same halacha would apply in a case where he was appointed as a Shliach, because Chia Mitam Shlichus. That's what the Darkei David adds over here to our understanding of the Rosh. But truth be told, he never gets down to brass tacks to explain why Shlichus should not operate, and if Chia is Mitam Shlichus, why Chia should not operate. So I'd like to suggest one point. I'm not sure if this point is enough to solve all our issues, but nevertheless it projects us on the way, and maybe we get one step closer, and that is that Shlucho Shalodom Kimoso. And you have to emphasize the Chaf HaDimyon. Shliach is not an extension of the Yad of the Mishaleach. It's a new entity of agency which allows you to represent the Mishaleach, but you aren't the embodiment of the Mishaleach himself. So you cannot equate the Mishaleach and the Shliach and say they're all the same, because the Shliach might be to some extent like the Mishaleach, but he's not the Mishaleach himself. And an Afkabina is going to be in this case of Chav L'Cherim, where the Mishaleach could grab onto the possessions of the Lov and collect them in lieu of his loan, whereas the Shliach of the Malva would not be able to collect it because he doesn't have the same status as the Mishaleach himself. But let's see if we can take this one step further. The Torah is saying that the Shliach is a separate entity from the Mishaleach. For example, there's a sugya in Bava Basra called Shliach Nasa Eid, which means that the Shliach himself can testify on the very Maisa that he implemented on behalf of the Mishaleach. If the Shliach was the Mishaleach and we would make him literally an extension of his Yad, then clearly the Shliach cannot function as an aid, just like the Mishaleach could not be an aid. He's a Valdomer, he's a Nogebi Eidus. But if Shlichus is a separate entity and the Shliach is not the Mishaleach, then we begin to understand perhaps why Shliach Nasa Eid. So, for example, some poskim say that if you appoint a shliach as a shliach kiddushin, then, well, let me give the case of get. That's a little bit simpler. Let's say you appoint someone as a shliach to deliver the get to the isha. Then some insist that the ownership over the get has to be transferred over to the shliach, because the shliach is an extension of the mishaleach. But we paskin know that the Mishaleach remains the owner of the get, and the Shliach is there as a separate entity, independent, to deliver the get. He doesn't have to. The Shliach doesn't have to be the gufo shel Mishaleach, such that he has to own the paper, the near I get. So what is Shlichus if the shliach is not an extension of the guf of shel b'shaleach, but rather a representative. So perhaps we could say the following, that the Torah says that the maisa, the action of the shliach, is the action of the shliach. It remains the action of the shliach. But the halosa maisa, which means the halachic change or impact of this maisa, is now transferred over to the malvi. I'll give you an example of what I mean. If shliach would be an extension of the guf of the mishaleach, then not only is the maisa, I'm sorry, not only is the chalos related to the mishaleach, but even the maisa is related to the mishaleach. The mishaleach is considered the bala maisa. That would be the most extreme formulation of shlichus, which means yada shliach ki yada mishaleach. But we're going to offer another suggestion, that the Torah is mechadesh, that although the action belongs and remains the action of the shliach, but the implications as far as legal changes are concerned, those ramifications relate back to the mishaleach. So it means that according to this latter definition, the whole enterprise of shlichus is based on the chalos. It's not based on the maisa. As far as the maisa is concerned, the shliach is an independent agent. He's operating on his own behalf, so to speak. He is the bala maisa. But what shlichus creates on behalf of the shliach is the chalos. That as far as the chalos of maisa, the Torah has vested in the shliach the powers of the mishaleach. The shliach now becomes the bailim over the chalos ha-maisa. The maisa itself, as a maisa shebegufo, remains that of the shliach. But when I appoint a shliach, or in the case of Zachar the Adam Shalom, b'fon of Yehold Zchir Mitam Shlichus, what I'm doing is I'm transferring over to the shliach the power over the chalos. You are the balbas as far as creating this chalos. So for example, in kedushin, we need a maisa kedushin, and then you need a chalos kedushin. And you go on and on and on. What shlichus, the breakthrough of shlichus, is that the Torah says that you can talk to a shliach, and you can say to him, you are me as far as the chalos ha-maisa is concerned. You are the creator of the chalos kedushin. You become, shall we call it, in the driver's seat as far as creating this chalos. So what's the nafkamina between A, that the shliach is the yad, he's the extension of the gufo, and his maisa is the maisa of the mishaleach, and B, the maisa remains the maisa of the shliach, but the bailus of the shliach is only over the chalos. My nafkamina. So we mentioned the nafkamina from Baba Basra of shliach nasa eid ayin shom. That's one nafkamina. The real nafkamina is right here in front of our eyes, and that's called tofis lebalchov b'makom shechav lacher. What kind of shlichus is manifest here in our sugya? I'll give you two choices. You have a 50% chance you get the right answer. Is it shlichus on the maisa, or is it shlichus on the chalos ha-maisa? If I were to appoint you as my shliach for tfisa, or alternatively you are self-appointed shliach even without a bidui because of zachar the other on tfisa, what kind of shlichus is that? Is that a shlichus on the maisa, or is it shlichus on the chalos ha-maisa? Exactly, it's on the maisa itself. Right. Tfisa is a maisa tfisa. Tfisa means that the malva says to the lova, I am now grabbing onto your your pearls or whatever object of value, a precious object, in lieu of the fact that you have to pay me back. I'm going to hold on to these pearls until you pay me back. And if you default on this loan, I will then acquire ownership over these pearls in lieu of the payment that you owe me. Again, Bezdin is going to have to do a shuba, figure out how much he owes him, how much the pearls are worth on the market, blah, blah, blah. Here's the din of, according to Tosfos, of a tofes of Balchov, the Bokum Shechav Lacherim, lo kana chavera. And Tosfos says it makes no bit of a difference as to whether or not he appointed him as a shliach. Why? Because tfisa, which means taking physical possession over the object, is only a maisa. It's not a chalos. If shlichus would be yad shliach ki yad ha-mishaleach, then just like the mishaleach could grab possession over the object of the lover, and the malva has rights to confiscate the possessions of the lover, so too the shliach would have rights to do so. He was appointed as a shliach with a full minui that makes him into the extension of the yad of mishaleach. He too can be tofes, and that's Rashi Shita. Tosa says then, even if you were to appoint him as your shliach, it's shlichus over the maisa. There is no such thing as shlichus over the maisa. We don't accept and validate the principle of yado ki yado ki anagu or ki gufo ki gufa b'shalech dein. That's not what shlichus is all about. The Torah was mechadish and shlichus that I can invest a power and authority in the shliach that he should be in control over the chalos. He will generate the chalos. He replaces me. But as far as the mice is concerned, I don't have the ability, I don't have the authority as the mishalech to appoint him and transfer to him the ownership over the maisa. And in the case of Tofes, says Tosfos, shlichus cannot operate. So what would it mean in Tofes of Al-Chov v'Bakum Shalo Chav Lacherim? Why should that make a difference? Are you with me so far?
It's not contested. Even it's not even potentially contested.
Okay, I mean, we could get into the whole discussion about the Rosh and the Rif. Maybe the Lova is contesting it. He doesn't want to give it up. But whatever it is, I mean, that you're right. That has to be studied. But I was just trying to operate within the purview of Shlichus. If Tos is saying that there's no Shlichus on Tfisa because Tfisa is only a Maisa and Shlichus only operates on the Chalosa Maisa. So why should Tfisa work if there's no Chav L'Acherim? All of a sudden Chav L'Acherim changes the whole picture. We can ask a second question. Rashi maintains a distinction between Zochin and Mini Shlichus. And now if Rashi is telling us that Zochin doesn't work in the case of Tofes of Al-Chol, then he seems to be assuming that there is no Shlichus when it's Chav L'Acherim on a Maisa Tfisa, because that's a Maisa. There's no Shlichus on a Maisa. Well, if Rashi agrees that in the case of Zochin, why doesn't Rashi go a step further and say, like Tosfos, that even if he appoints him as a shliach, there's no shlichus on the tefisa?
But he's still only tofes. He's not mezakeh. It doesn't say mezakeh lebal tofes makom shechav lacherim. It's tofes, and tefisa is not zechiah.
Again, but why does shlichus work in this case going to Rashi? Right, and that's what I'm trying to say. That if zechiah is an extension of shlichus, and you're telling me that zechiah doesn't work here because it's chav l'acherim, and you're telling me that the tfisa of the ploni almoni, who's a man on the street that he's trying to do something on behalf of someone, is meaningless. He cannot be zoch on his behalf. So what difference does it make if the malva appointed him as a shliach? There's no, the parameters or the purview of shlichus doesn't include, it's not extended to include a case of tfisa. So what difference does it make whether it's zoch liyadav or whether it's shliach mamish with a mini shlichus? You have an answer to that question? I don't. Oh, so I think the answer is the following: that Rashi holds that there is such an entity in halacha called shlichus on a maisa, and that's yado ki yado.
But that requires me to be. Sachi liyadu shal b'fod of means that I can create a schus for you through my own baisa. I can't do that if it's chav l'acherim. Zachi liyadu shal b'fod of separates the baisa from the chalosa baisa. The zachin is chal on the schia itself, which is the chalosa baisa. The actual Maisa was implemented by the Mezakeh, if we could call him that. It was the one who filled in here and stepped up to the plate on behalf of the Zochah. But the real thrust of the Shlichus in the case of Zochah Yom Shom Fodav is a Shlichus of Zechiah. And I emphasize that word Zechiah, which means the Chalos. That's called Zochah Yom Shom Fodav. Is there any method by which we could upgrade the shlichus of Zachli Adam to include even the mice itself? And the mice itself lends itself to shlichus. For that we need bidu. When a person is mamanis someone a shliach, it's like smicha, you know, he confers upon him a status of being his extended yad. So Rashi would hold that Toface doesn't operate within the purview, within the territory of Zechiah, because Zechiah is only on a chalos. And here he wants to be Toface, which is a Maisa. The Shliach cannot represent the Mishaleach for the Maisa. However, Rashi claims that if the Malva would have appointed the Shliach as his Shliach, that the Shliach could be Toface, despite the fact that it's Chav L'Acherim. And now he becomes a Shliach on the Maisa. Why? Because through meeting Shlichus, you've upgraded the entire status of Shlichus. It's no longer Zachin, where you, as a Shliach, are in charge of the Schus. It becomes Yodo Ki Yodo, and you now are in charge of the Maisa. You, as a Shliach, once appointed, become the Bala Maisa. Ah, if you're Bala Maisa, then you're no different than the Malv himself, and you can do a Tfisa. So whereas Tosfos understood that even in the case of Midi Shlichus, it remains Shlichus on the Chalos, Rashi holds that there are two different, fundamentally different categories of Shlichus. There's the Zochin Shlichus, and there's the Midi Shlichus. The Zochin Shlichus is only on the Chalos, but the Midi Shlichus is even on the Maisa, hence Tfisa would come under the purview of Shlichus if there was a Bidui, and then the Shliach becomes an extended Yad of the Mishaleach. Just like the Mishaleach could be Zocha through a Tfisa, so too his Shliach, who he's appointed as the Shliach, could be Zocha through Tfisa. Now, why does this change in the case of Eino Chav L'Acherim? And in Eino Chav L'Acherim, we're saying that the Toface could definitely operate on behalf of the Mishaleach. So I would like to suggest that this halach of Toface b'mokum she'eino chav l'acherim, but also, I can't concentrate, sorry. The reason why, in the case of Toface b'mokum she'eino chav l'acherim, that operates and that's valid, is not because of shlichus. But it's a different kind of halacha. It's halacha of possession. Meaning, how do we traverse, if I could use that word, how do we traverse the following gap? There's shibud, and then there's gvir. Shibud means that you owe me a chov, and gvir means I've already collected the chov. So you and I would have said that to jump that gap, you would have to have the malva physically take over possession of the object. That makes it into gvir sachov. But now we're suggesting something else. That in order to jump over this gap between shibud and gvir, in other words, to materialize the shibud and make it into a full-fledged gvir, all you need is that the malva has control, has possession over the object. The next Mishnah, by the way, in Peah, is going to discuss whether or not you can make a kinyan on peah simply by possessing the peah and not allowing anyone else to grab onto the peah. Let's say there are two aniyim. If one ani would fall on the peah and he would be protective of the peah, he would threaten anyone who tries to grab the peah out of his hands will be shot on the spot. So the Gemara vacillates whether or not that could operate in peah. The final maskot is that it does not operate in peah, because peah requires a kinyan. Why? Because peah belongs to all the aniyim. And the only way any single ani could acquire ownership on the peah is if he makes a full-fledged kinyan on the peah. But there was a havamina that simply falling on top of the object and grabbing it, if you follow what I mean, that itself could be meaningful. Let's take the case of hefker. I spoke about peah. Hefker. What do I have to do in order to acquire ownership on hefker? Do I have to do a maisa kinyan? And there's no das machne. Usually a kinyan has two, you know, takes two to tangle, a tango, you know, you need a machne and a kona. In the case of hefker, you only have a kona.
You have to have show ba'alut.
So what do I mean, show ba'alut? You have a right, as a member of the general globe, of all the population, to grab onto this hefker. I got there first. If I can grab onto it in such a way that you will have no access to it, then I've successfully removed you from this hefker. And the mail is mine. I don't need a positive kinyan. Why? Because it was mine to begin with, no less than it's yours. We all have equal ownership. And in that context, you, like me, have access to the object. Who's going to get there first? The one who gets there first, and he falls on the object, the Mishnah is going to come lafuki. If you take a look at the Mishnah, Ra'as ha-metziv enough al aleha. Okay? But the havamin in the Mishnah, please listen carefully, was that Ra'as ha-metziv enough al aleha, is no one else is allowed to take it out of his possession. Well, guess what? Rav v'nafal, that's not a ma'aseh kinyan. I went through all of Hilchos Kinyanim. I'm a baki in Choshen Mishpat Kaviyachal, and I have Hadbar, and I have Meshicha, and I have Mesira, and all the Kinyanim, Chatzer, and what have you. I never found the Fila to be a kinyan on that list. So why did the Mishnah have to tell me that Rav Samatziv v'nafal el lo kona? Apparently it was a havavim that he could be kona with the Fila.
Because no one else has access at
exactly.
That time.
Exactly. I don't need a positive kinyan in hefker. I own it just like you own it. But just that you might grab it, if I can force you to give up your claim because you're not going to get it, I'm going to set up a security guard here who's going to threaten you if you come near me. You know what I mean? So that makes it mine. Because it really was mine to begin with. If you follow me, if that's how we understand hefker. So this is where malve and gvia comes into play. The chiddush of tofes lebal chov is that we don't have to operate midin shlichus. If I grab onto this possession of the loveh on your behalf, that's enough to create a gevir. Why? Because the loveh, the malveh, excuse me, owns that money. Why does he own that money? What's that called? Shibud. Right? Shibud itself is owned. Again, this is machlok, it's a bayin rov, but I think we paskin that if there's any shevach, right, all the shvach goes to the malveh from because he has ownership over it. And in Chametz on Pesach, there's a whole Mishnah in the the second parak, or where is it? Whatever parak, the second or the third parak, on Daf Lamed Aleph, that says that it's the malveh who violates Bal Yiroh by Yibatzeh because the Chametz and the Lov is Meshuvah to him. Again, there may be differences between Shibud and. And what's called apotiki. What's shibud or apotiki, right? Shibud would mean a general diffused shibud, and apotiki is when I say to you that this is yours for collection. But I think at this stage in my life, I'm willing to accept the following principle: that shibud is a kind of a kinyan. It's a miktas kinyan, not a complete kinyan. What do I need to complete that kinyan? All I have to do is a gvir. What is gvir? So you might say the gvir means that we belong to Hilchos Kinyanim. That the malveh has to go through the entire regiment of the strict official regulations that govern acquiring ownership. And I'm going to suggest no. that if Gvia is just the next stage beyond Shibud, we don't have to go through, we're not committed to fulfill all your cross all the T's and dot all the I's of Hilchus Kinyanin. We need possession over it. Here's where Tfisa is meaningful. And if I'm the Tofes on your behalf, because I'm a good Samaritan, and I know that you're about to lose your money, let's say the risk scenario, for example, because the lower level, because the ghost says, so then I can be Tofes and create a Gvia on your behalf. I'm not going to let anyone go near that necklace, that pearl necklace. Anyone who comes near that pearl necklace and tries to take it away from me, you know what I'm going to do to him. Because this pearl necklace is in the possession of the Malfin. And that's what I'm going to do on his behalf before the lover expires. So that's already not a din of shlichus. Why? Because Tfisa creates a new reality on the ground. It changes the facts on the ground. Now the Malva has someone who is operating on his behalf to possess these pearls, and no one is going to have access to them. No one is going to be able to enjoy them and take them away from him. That's like the fila in Hefker, in the Havamina of the Mishnah, before the Mishnah said that no, Hefker requires a full-fledged kinyan. So let's just summarize. What we're saying is the following. That when it comes to Bokum Shechav L'Acherim, there's no such thing as Tfisa, bridging the gap between, effectively bridging the gap between Shibud and Gvir. Tfisa is not going to do that. Why? Because it's Chav L'Acherim. If it's Chav L'Acherim, then every one of these malvas has a shibud. And the only way that any particular malva could exclude any other malva would be to make a kinyan. Can he appoint a shliach to do so on his behalf? That's a whole different tfisa. That's not the tfisa of a makom she'eino Chav L'Acherim. This is the tfisa of a makom she'Chav L'Acherim. That requires a full-fledged shlichus. So Rashi says the following. If he was not appointed as a shliach, we cannot use and fall back on Zoch and the other Shlom B'Fanav. Because Zoch and Shlom B'Fanav is only as far as the Chalos is concerned, and here we need a Maisa Tfisa. The shliach has to represent the Meshaleach, the Malva, as an extension of his goof to implement the Maisa Tfisa. The Torah gave the Malva exclusive rights in Koshek Mishpat to make a tfisa and thereby acquire ownership over the object, the possession of the loaf. Says Rashi, here we should distinguish between Zachin Liyadim Shalom Fanav and Bidi Shlichus. In Zachin Liyadim Shalom Fanav, the status and the authority of the Zoche, or maybe I should call it the Mezake, maybe that would be a better word, is totally focused and exclusively related to the chalos. It doesn't relate to the maisa tfisa. And that's out of the question. In the case of a shliach, where the malva appointed this tofes as his shliach, that upgrades the whole nature of schia, which is only on the chalos, to shlichus of gufo ki gufo, or yado ki yado, which encompasses even a maisa. Now, I can appoint you as my shliach for the tfisa, as a maisa tfisa, and as a result, the malve will be able to be zocha and own this. Comes along post and he says, nay, even in shliach, even with bidur, it still remains a separate entity. There's the malva. I'm sorry. There's the mishaleach, and there's the shliach. Never the twain shall be. You can never, even through minui, upgrade the status of a shliach to that of yodo ki yodo. Now we brought support for Tosfos for the fact that Shliach Nasa Eid, that he can testify in the place. If this be the case, Rav Osai, maybe we can understand the Shach. The Shach says that in a case of Schiris Pu'ula, everybody would agree that it operates, that it's meaningful and it's valid. What's Schiris Poel? Meaning, if I pay you a salary to act on my behalf, you become a poet. Says the Shach, in such a case, you could be Tofes, even though it's Chav L'Acher. Why? Says the Shach, because of the principle called Yad Poel Ki Yad Baal Habayis. What does the Shach mean? Very fancy, highfalutin, poetic language, but what does it mean? It means that there is a possibility of Yad Shliach Ki Yad HaMshalech, but only in the case of Poel. Poel is, and again, we're holding like the Balei Tosfos, that Shlichus itself means that the Shliach and the Mshalech are two separate entities, and that we reject the principle of the Shliach as an extension of the Yad HaMshalech, but says the Shach, the exception to that rule is going to be Shliach Poel. When I pay a Poel, now we have a new principle called Yad Poel Ki Yad Baal Habayis.
Yeah, right. That's a problem in the power of the Poel. Because, for instance, if a Poel finds a Metzia, it automatically belongs to the Baal Habayis.
Correct.
The Poel doesn't have his own Yad.
Correct.
But he's working for the Baal Habayis.
So let me ask you the following question. If the Malva himself could be Tofes from the Lover, even though there are many other Malvin who are going to lose,
so can the Poel.
So can the Poel.
But only because he's a Poel, and a Poel is down one level. But if he's not a Poel, then he's like everybody else.
So Yosef, I disagree with you only in what you call down, I call up, and what I call up, you call down. But we're both saying the same thing. I don't know if it's up or down. But what we're saying is that the Poel himself is like the person. He's like the embodiment of the Baal Habayis. Even his goof is like the Baal Habayis.
Right,
forget I'll be
on love. That he isn't a Baal Habayis over himself.
And that upgrades it. You call that a downgrade. I call it an upgrade. Why? Because now it's going to the highest level of shlichus. Remember, in Rashi's reference, the highest level of shlichus was achieved through bidui shlichus.
Yeah,
Tosfos rejects that. So Tosfos says even in bidui shlichus, he's still on the low grade shlichus, in which the shlichus is really operating on his own behalf. He's not a representative. He doesn't step into the shoes of the the Mishalem, correct?
Yeah.
But there is one case where even Tosfos would agree that the Shliach steps into the shoes of the Mishalem. And that's the Poel. For example, if I were to ask you, just to quiz you, could the Poel testify on his own action?
No,
the answer would be no. Why? Because he is really the Baal Habayis incarnate. And the Baal Habayis is possible Yehudis because he's a Baal Dover. Now the Poel becomes a Baal Dover. But here, Yosef, I want to prove to you that it's an upgrade. Why is it an upgrade? We have a principle in mitzvahs called Ein Shlichus B'mitzvahs. Why? Because Shlichus only works on the Chalos and not on the Maisa, and the mitzvahs on the Maisa. So the Machne Ephraim, if you ever heard of him, his name was Navon. I think Rav Salvechi used to say he's one of the three Jews who wore a turban who understood Lubavitch. He was a Sephardi. And the Machne Ephraim says that when the Torah says put up a marker, if you, let's say for example, you would hire a guy to put up a marker, you would not fulfill the mitzvah, at least not Peshlemus, because you didn't do the mice of putting up the marker. But if you pay a poel, then he says you can fulfill the mitzvah. So I always was wondering why. If there's no shlichus in mitzvahs, what difference does it make if I pay him as a poel? And the answer is once I pay him as a poel, he becomes Yad Baal Habayis itself. He's the incarnate of the goof of the Baal Habayis, and therefore it's as if the Baal Habayis himself did the mice.
Yeah.
Alright, we'll stop here.
I was hoping we'd get to the Mishnah, but I got a little bit carried away over here. So we'll pick this up in Mitzvah next week.